It's full of alas. I put it in your face and you won't say nada. Patos cholos, you call us what you will. You say we are assassins, you're tripping about to kill. It's in my brother being Aztec warrior. Go to any extreme and hold no barriers. Chicano.
Thanks for joining KDSC for the retrospective look at student activism, the hunger strike at St. Cloud State University. I'm Joe McMullen.
And I'm Fareed Guillot. We here at KVSC feel that the hunger strike was the biggest news event on campus in 1995. During this program, we'll explore the events and issues that led up to the hunger strike, and we'll visit with the newsmakers, the students, faculty, and administrators that made this event such a big story. After the retrospective, we'll have a live panel discussion.
Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano de Aztlán, Mecha organization on campus, sponsored the hunger strike. Spokeswoman Anna Gorman lists off the student demands.
On May 1st, Movimiento Estudiantil Chicano de Aztlán is in support with other St. Cloud State University organizations, held a rally and announced 13 demands on the SCSU administration. The demands are as follows. The institutionalization of a student of color board to participate as voting members in all decisions that affect people of color, including hiring of faculty and staff. Creation of a cultural center within Atwood. Establishment of a multicultural resource center in the library. Also mandatory.
Here are those lists of demands as published by Mecha. The institutionalization of a student color board.
The creation of a cultural center within Atwood Memorial Center, the student center on campus.
The establishment of a multicultural resource center within the library.
The implementation of a mandatory cultural awareness training program for all students at the university.
The removal of table grapes from campus.
An increase in hiring and retention of faculty and staff of color who will be supportive of students of color at this predominantly white university.
An increased retention and recruitment of students of color.
The implementation of a Chicano studies major.
The freedom to burn incense in Atwood Memorial Center and in the residence halls for religious purposes.
The elimination of the degrading racial classification Hispanic throughout the university system and recognition of Chicana, Chicano, Mexican as a separate and identifiable class.
The hiring of a legal advocate for all students.
The creation of a cultural diversity committee within student government for students of color.
And the termination of divide and conquer tactics by both the administration and SCSU student government members. Spokeswoman Leah Aber discusses how the negotiations have progressed with the administration and what led to the decision to conduct a hunger strike.
This fast will continue until the demands submitted by Mecha are met by the SCSU administration. Between May 1st and today, three meetings with Interim President Robert Bess have been held. Dialogue between President Bess and members of Mecha has been, for the most part, positive. Although we stated earlier that demand number 10 was met, at this time it remains only partially fulfilled. Meetings with the appropriate SCSU administration will continue until the demands of the students are met. The history and struggle behind these demands span several years here on campus and several hundred years off campus. The students of color at SCSU have been requesting things such as a legal advocate for students and increased student and faculty of color recruitment and retention for several years. We have been driven to this point by the dismissive and intolerant attitudes that exist on this campus. This campus has starved the minds and souls of people of color for too long. It seems appropriate that at this time we begin our protest by starving our bodies. For the hunger strikers and all involved with the circle, the fast is a spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical process.
The Mecha Student Organization chose May 1st because of the historical significance of the date. Once again, here's Anna Gorman.
Today, Cinco de Mayo, a fast began at 12 noon. Cinco de Mayo is significant to the Mexican people for reasons you may not be aware of. On May 5th, 1692, a small force of Mexicans defeated a far superior, well-militated French army. This battle is known as the Battle of the Pueblo, played a substantial role in crippling efforts of the French Empire in conquering Mexico and the Mexican people. Cinco de Mayo symbolizes what a small group of individuals can do when defending their land, their pride, and their people.
The Mecha group chose a hunger strike because of traditions within their heritage. Here's Mecha member Walter Ochoa Reyes.
Mecha at St. Cloud State University has been moving toward the understanding that we are an indigenous people, and we follow tradition and customs when we function as an organization. We don't use Robert's Rules of Order. We function as we function in society, as a people. We are communal people, and we work together in all decisions made. Of course, some decisions need to be made immediately, and therefore those decisions are made. But every student, every Mecha member is a part of the decision-making process.
The director of the American Indian Center at St. Cloud State, Dr. Benjamin Ramirez-Schwanabi, details his position on the hunger strike and the student list of demands.
I think it's a very difficult thing for everybody. You know, I think that there are some questions that have to be answered on both sides. I think that's something, and the moral and ethical issues that are there have to be answered. And yeah, it's kind of a loaded question. And I'm the kind of person, I'm a cultural pluralist by definition. I hope that we can all come to the table and learn from each other. But there are some demands that have to be looked into. And I think both sides are working hard to try to understand things. I don't think that we can resolve things overnight. I don't know if that's an unreal kind of expectation. But on the other hand, how long do the people have to wait for certain kinds of things in this country?
Fareed, walking around campus that week, whether students were supportive of the hunger strikers and Mecha and the cause or against it, I noticed there was a lot of energy in the hallways and outside on campus.
There was definitely an electricity in the air. There were spontaneous discussions, debates sprouting all over campus. I didn't think students cared about what happened around them, but once the hunger strike began, I knew that students were very concerned about what directly affects their lives.
And that's kind of what a university is all about, the discourse and the discussion, and it was very intriguing and refreshing to see that kind of energy happening on this campus, whether you were for the cause or against it. And the interim president at the time, Dr. Robert Bess, truly was a man who believed in open dialogue and communication.
I think it has raised the consciousness of many, many people. Frankly, it has also exposed some of our enemies, and that's always helpful. But most importantly, it has set the scene for an ongoing, serious, directed effort to address issues which are typically intermittently addressed in the university community and should be continually addressed.
One of the points of contention throughout the whole hunger strike and discussion on campus was the recruitment of students of color to attend the school here. University did recruit quite heavily a lot of these students to become a full member of this university. But the contention point by the students is once they came here, their needs were not recognized, as discussed by Walter Ochoa-Reyes.
We, as students of color, came to this campus with certain needs. I don't believe the university realized what our needs were, though they did realize what the general population's needs were. And they service them, they facilitate them with their needs. We weren't brought here to facilitate our own needs. That wasn't the purpose we came here. We came here the same reason every other student came to St. Cloud State University, and that is to get an education. That's their job, to facilitate us with our needs. Unfortunately, we've felt ever since we stepped on this campus that those needs were not met. This is the basic bread and water of our survival. We have special needs, and we feel those needs need to be met. Now, if the university and this goes as well for Arnie Carlson, the legislature does not feel that it needs to meet the needs of students of color on all campuses, then they're telling us that we don't matter. We don't matter in the state, and that we don't matter as a people.
The St. Cloud State student group known as Mecha called a press conference Thursday to update the status of the student hunger strike against the SESU administration. The strike, now in its seventh day, is taking its toll on strikers as complaints of dizziness and stomach cramps are common. Reporters were briefly allowed to talk with the strikers, who were visibly weakened by the lack of food.
Personally, I think of all the support we've gotten. You know, it makes it go away. sometimes it doesn't go away though. But for the most part, if you focus on, personally, if I focus on, you know, everything you see here, everything has been donated, you know, it makes it a lot easier to stand.
At the press conference, several spokespersons made statements and answered questions about the strikers and the progress of the negotiations. One spokeswoman made it clear that Mecha was not the only group protesting and that several other minority groups have also joined the protest.
The strikers are not all Mecha members. The hunger strikers and direct supporters represent several ethnic groups, backrooms including Chicanos, African Americans, white and Asian students, as well as Native Americans. This is important for us to convey, as we have been portrayed as only Mecha members. Again, we repeat, the hunger strikers are a diverse group representing many organizations and backgrounds. These organizations include CAS, Council of African American Students, First Nations People, BSWC, Black Students with the Cause, as well as SCAR, Student Coalition Against Racism.
How long the strike will last has been left up to each individual striker, but most plan to stick it out until a significant number of the demands are met. I'm Fariki Yo reporting for KVSC News.
For us, this is not a bunch of students gotten together and going to starve themselves until the university changes. This is a ceremonial process for us. We've been preparing ourselves for a number of weeks. So this isn't something we're jumping into. And for us, it shows dedication among its members, and it shows the willingness the members have to fight for these demands.
You're listening to KVSC St. Cloud. It's 2 minutes past 8 o'clock. We'll return now to our live broadcast out on the campus with Fareed Gio.
This is Fareed Gio live at the Hunger Strike campsite just outside the administration building. And kind of set the scene for you, all the people who are joining the protest, the support staff, the hunger strikers are gathered here, plus the administration. Dr. Bess is here, Dr. Jean Gilchrist, Dr. Barb Gratchek, Dorothy Simpson is also here. We also have media here. And WJON, a few other radio stations, representatives from the Twin Cities media are also here. And people are just kind of walking around right now, waiting for the time when the agreement will be signed. Just to note, I was interviewed earlier by Jerry Lopez, who's making his own little documentary of the hunger strike. And he talked to me about what it was like to be a reporter covering this, and also being someone who is very opinionated himself. And I found it was a struggle to try to, you know, get the feelings of the hunger strikers and also the administration and the students around campus.
Fareed, I think among the students and administration, and even within the media, there was a collective sigh of relief when the agreement was met and the student strikers, hunger strikers, were able to then sign the agreement and no longer be deprived of food.
Joe, that was the feeling there at the hunger strike site. I think the person that was most relieved was Interim President Robert Bess. I think because he had worked so hard and worked with these students for a long time, he was very relieved that this came to a peaceful end, that no one got hurt. But he made a point that it just doesn't stop here, that people need to continue to talk, that dialogue must continue so that the problem doesn't come back.
Well, I would simply like to say that I'm pleased that we've reached a point where we are together, showing harmony, showing a common willingness to work cooperatively to address needs which we all have agreed from the beginning are very legitimate needs. And so it is, it feels good to see this particular part of the activity coming to an end. But I want to stress, as I have to a number of student groups and others over the past 2 weeks, that it's important that we realize this doesn't mean the issues stop being issues. We must continue to address them. Indeed, if we address them on a continuing basis, events such as this would not be necessary.
One of the hunger strikers who seems to sum up very nicely the events of the week, Jerry Lopez, discusses how pleased he was at that signing ceremony, and he himself have deprived himself of food for a week.
I think that today marks a day where both the administration and all those involved with this are very happy. This has been a success, not just for the students, but for the university as a whole. And that's something we got to point out, is that things were very well done, administered. We had a lot of cooperation, and we cooperated with them throughout this whole process, and we had a very respectful negotiation process. And I wouldn't even want to use the word negotiation, because everything that we discussed, we came to a happy closure.
How is the condition of all the hunger strikers, including yourself? I heard you've had time to get something to eat. Are people feeling better, slowly working back into eating regular meals?
No, we're not ready to eat a normal meal yet. Chicken broth or similar things like that is what we've been consuming. We're slowly moving into the soft solids and moving into hard solids when a couple more days from now. As we're feeling, I'm not yet 100% recovered. I'm stuttering my words. There's a few things that I'm experiencing still, but I hope it comes to an end in a week or so where I'm back to normal.
Over the summer, there was a change in leadership at St. Cloud State University. Dr. Bruce Gruby was named president of St. Cloud State permanently, and I asked him in July if he was going to honor the agreements that were made in May between the hunger strikers and interim president Robert Bess.
In fact, I absolutely did acknowledge that any agreement that President Bess would make with our Chicano students regarding a hunger strike, I would certainly honor that agreement. This is the first university I've been at which hasn't had a substantial population of people of color, and I had an interesting experience in California. When I first went to Cal Poly, the student body was around 85% white students. When I left in 92, it was 45% white students. We had significant Hispanic, Latino, Chicano, take your pick. It depends on who you're talking to there as to what the preference might be. Significant numbers of Asian American students, African American students. It became a regular United Nations kind of campus. And so this happened over a period of about 15 years, and we became very good at working to educate not only students, but also staff, administrators in the community to what these changes meant and how, in fact, having a diverse student population as well as a diverse faculty was very, very beneficial to the educational process because, frankly, we're living in a global society now. Many of our students will not be working in St. Cloud for the rest of their lives, and they're going to be out and they're going to be working in environments where their experiences with diverse cultures, diverse peoples are going to be very, very important to their own success.
Stay tuned. In a few minutes, we'll have a live discussion with the key players of the events of last May. Your calls and your comments will be welcome on the studio line, 255-2398. For Fareed Guillot, I'm Joe McMullen for KVSC News.
What's the matter? You afraid you're gonna get hurt? I'm with my homeboys, my ties, my camaradas, kicking back on me, ganga, y pa mi no diga nada. You're switching gornes, like Al Capone, it's it. Come throw our throw, so don't never try to sweat me. Some of you don't know what's happening, que pasa's not for you anyway, cause this is for the raza. I'm speaking is known as Galo. Y sabes que loco, yo soy muy malo. Tú no sabes nada, your brain is hollow. Been hit in the head too many times with a palo. Still you're trying to act cool, but you should know. You're so cool that I'ma call you a gulo. You're just a peewee, you can't get none ever. You're on the lever. Your own radio doesn't back you up. They just look at your ass and call you a poo butt. And so I look and I laugh and say, ¿qué pasa? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is for the raza, raza, raza. So I had to go solo. And when I go out alone, I pack. I don't sweat the chavalas when I know that I'm strapped.
every time that I pack my piece. I pull it out quick, all the nonsense will cease. Just like the song, when you're 18 with a bullet, got my finger on the trigger, I'm not afraid to pull it. If it gets out of hand, I know some mafiosos quick to pull out weapons, I'm so stupid as my warsaw. Sitting there wondering what's happening, can find some.